My name is Scott Kate. Hello, this is my friend Dustin.
Hi, I'm Dustin Campbell.
So we have different backgrounds. The talk is Visual Studio Power User, Tips and Tricks by the both of us. And I'll give you a little bit of background. I am a developer. I'm a Microsoft MVP and regional director. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I own a little software company. So all I do is work in Visual Studio. I'm a developer all day, every day, sometimes the weekends. Dustin has a different persona.
Yeah.
He builds Visual Studio.
Right. So I'm also a developer, but I spend most of my days thinking about Visual Studio and how to make it better for those that do spend their entire day writing code. I also was a C# MVP before joining Microsoft.
Hence the dress code violation.
Hence the dress code violation. This is my save the day with C# shirt. But yeah, I work on the C# and Visual Basic team. I work on the managed languages team, and I primarily am accountable for the editing experiences in C# and Visual Basic.
Languages.
Yep.
Patents, keyboard combinations.
Yeah.
I always slide that in because he's got a few of those golden cubes that are awesome
man.
To have. So with that, you know, why are we here? Over the last decade or so that we've been using Visual Studio, the product has continued to mature, and there's a lot of stuff in there, and all of us are very productive. But every once in a while, you learn that little nougat, and you say, oh, man, that's awesome.
Did you say nougat, not nugget?
Nugget.
Nice. I like how you did that.
Nougat, nugget. nougat tastes better.
That's right.
You just get that nugget, and sometimes you could even win a bet with it. And you're like, how'd you do that? And you're like, if you buy me lunch, I can tell you how we did that. And you'll learn that trick then for the rest of your life. So there's some camaraderie with tips and tricks. And, you know, it's just such a nice, mature product. There's a ton of stuff in there. And, in fact, we're going to be talking about tips and tricks that aren't necessarily new today, but have been in the product for a long time, but are just buried.
Right. So, I mean, we're going to go, I just want to set, you know, kind of some expectations. We're going to try and go pretty fast. There's a lot of stuff we want to cover. And I will try and call out when there's some really key keyboard shortcuts that you might want to remember. But we're also going to primarily be about using the keyboard, because that's where a lot of productivity lies. If you can, you know, train yourself and your muscle memory to use keyboard shortcuts, you're going to find your productivity increasing. You're going to find yourself being much quicker with the product, and it's much more enjoyable, I find, when I'm not having to reach over with the mouse and drag it over, and you know, it just feels like a chore, right? But if I can go fast, I feel much more efficient, and it's much more enjoyable. We're going to be using Visual Studio 2013, which came out last fall. So, and many of the tips, though, are relevant to earlier versions of Visual Studio. We'll show you tips that started with Visual Studio 2005 and have been in the product forever, and nobody knows they're there. How many people are using Visual Studio 2005?
Couple of you? All
That's
right, let's give
true.
These guys a
That's
hand.
Okay. That's okay. It was a great product. It was pretty fast.
What about 2003?
Oh.
What about InterDev? We got two liars. Out there.
Yeah, so there's also going to be, you'll see in the legend here, this is all going to be in the slides. Like I said, we're going to go fast, but it'll be in the slides. You can check back on that when it's up on the Channel 9 site, and our slides are there. We'll also be showing off some extensions that, you know, that are really great extensions to have to increase your productivity, the productivity power tools. Some of the tips we'll show are things that were in the productivity power tools first. So if you're using Visual Studio 2010, you can add the Pro Power Tools, get a tip, a trick, some sort of feature, then it's been added to the product later. So that's kind of how this is going to go.
So most of you have Visual Studio through an MSDN account. I wanted to slide this in here really quick because I've talked to a lot of people at the Visual Studio booth. There's a lot of new stuff that's happening with Azure, and people don't know. You have a monthly credit that's use it or lose it on your MSDN account. And so there's a URL we've put up here. It takes you directly to activate your MSDN account. And again, this is something you already have. So if you want to mess around with the new mobile services or deploying websites or setting up VMs or all the cool stuff that was talked about in the keynote, that is something that is built into your MSDN account, and you should be taking advantage of it. So the way we're going to roll with this is we'll kind of go through a quick deck, and then we'll do a demo, and then we'll switch over. Dustin will do a quick slide and do a demo, and we'll kind of go back and forth about 5 minutes. So this first slide, I'm just going to jump straight into a demo on my machine, and I have the start page open. A lot of people don't know that the start page is customizable. If you're a consultant and you're constantly opening different projects, you may or may not know that you can right-click on these projects and remove them. So you can easily remove something from the list. You can also open the containing folder if you need to edit the project itself. So nice and easy, we'll start with the basics. But with the start page, you can also turn it off altogether, which will speed your startup time. So if you're like me and you're constantly working in the same project, you can use this quick launch up at the top right, which is Control Q. And if I do startup, you can see that that's kind of a quick launch into the options. And you can change what happens at startup. And this is what I think the majority of you are going to benefit from. Just load the last project that I was using. I would say 80% of you, just by talking to you, are working in the same project over and over and over again. So if you have to restart Studio, just restart, load the last project. Now you don't have to see the start page, click that. It just saves you a couple of options or a couple of click-throughs there. The next tip that I want to do is keyboard shortcut, but it's actually a Windows trick. It has very little to do with Visual Studio. But it is going to be of tremendous use for you in navigating your programs down at the bottom. So if you count the index of my icons with Internet Explorer, Explorer, then Notepad, Notepad is number 3. If you press Windows 3, it'll open Notepad. Do you guys know that? So that's pretty cool. A lot of you didn't know that. Windows 3, again, will simply toggle through them. What about the jump list? What if you right-click on Notepad? What do you see? You see the jump list that pops up. Windows Alt 3 will show me the jump list, and now with my keyboard, I can open a second instance, because Windows 3 will just toggle through them. But if I do Windows Alt 3, then it will give me that jump list. And here's my favorite one. How many times do you have to run something as administrator? So a lot of times I'll have my command prompt down here, and instead of going to Windows, typing in CMD, right-clicking, run as administrator, if you do Control-Shift-Windows, and then the index item, in this case 3, it will run that item as administrator. That's beneficial because some of the things that you do with Visual Studio requires that you run Studio as administrator. So Windows Control Shift and the number 3. And just to toggle back to the slides, some of you are feverishly writing this down. All of the tips and tricks that we're going to talk about today are in the slide. So if we could jump down to, you know, the fourth or fifth one, start new instance, run as admin, Windows Control Shift, and the letter N. So that is a whoops. I wanted to jump back over to our next slide for simplification.
All right. So in Visual Studio 2012, we invested a lot of effort in trying to simplify the UI, doing a big UX refresh that went okay. Black and white. We introduced a dark theme for the Vaders in the room. We also really took some time to simplify the toolbars. The toolbars in Visual Studio had gotten kind of out of control, and so we kind of really reduced them down to their essence. It wasn't really, there were a couple of things that were kind of not received as well. How many people really, really like the all caps menus, for example?
Oh, all caps menu?
Nobody likes the all caps menus? How many people dislike the all caps menu? Okay, I thought so. Some things like that. Another one, the blue theme was gone, the blue theme for Visual Studio 2010. That's back in Visual Studio 2013. However, there are a couple of extensions, and I just want to show those really quickly, that you can use to kind of retake your theme of Visual Studio. Now, this is Visual Studio 2013. I'm using the blue theme. If you're using 2012 and you want to bring back the blue theme, there's an extension for that. So I'm in Tools, Extensions, and Updates, or you can go to the Quick Launch, like Scott just showed, and type Extensions, and it'll take you there as well. And I've got some extensions already installed. They're disabled right now, but this is the list of extensions. This is a great resource. You can go online here and just search for extensions and find all sorts of things that are out there in the ecosystem ready, you know, all ready to install into Visual Studio and make your life better. So this is a great thing to explore if you're looking for something. A couple that I really like, the theme, where is it? I just searched for it. The color theme editor. Now, this lets you do more than just blue, right? It lets you do all sorts of things. So I'll restart Visual Studio. Fortunately, it restarts relatively quickly as I'm talking here. It's actually back up. And we can go and look at in here some of the various themes that are available. So if I really wanted to like go all prints on you guys, I could just go purple, right? And so there's a bunch of different ways that you can retake kind of your theme. Now there's that thing we mentioned earlier, that all caps menu up there that's really, really, really popular in this room. There's an extension for that too. There's an extension, most people know there's an extension that will turn it back into, you know, being kind of Pascal cased and not being all uppercase, but I actually prefer the hide main menu and just get the thing gone altogether. I never need to know there's a file menu. I know there's a file menu, right? So go ahead, enable that, restart Visual Studio again, and now it's gone. I don't need the main menu at all. If I do want the menu, I just press Alt. Right, and it's there. It's still all cap, but I don't have to worry about it. It's gone now. Again, I can press Escape, and it goes away. So that's also a really great extension to kind of retake your theme and also, you know, give you a little bit more vertical space. Because in Visual Studio, I need vertical and horizontal space, right? Because I want to see my code, right? Okay.
Perfect. So that's a great example of what I think is Microsoft listening. Because when this first came out with all caps, there was a huge uproar of people like, no, all caps, I'm going to die. Like, it was really, really a big thing.
You'd think we'd done it in Comic Sans or something,
yeah.
Right?
And then shortly thereafter that, you know, colors came back. And so you have to innovate, or you have to change in order to innovate. And certainly a lot of things have changed for the better. And, you know, it's hit or miss. So I'm happy with that.
That was not my fault, by the way.
Little story. Sure, you only take credit for the good stuff.
All this is mine.
There's a couple of things in here. So Dustin is responsible for Control Dot, we'll talk about. If you don't know what Control Dot is, we'll show you that a little bit later, but that's his major claim to fame. That's when we became friends.
Right.
So we found out about that. So window and document management. The reason that I put this in as a tip is because there's a ton of stuff that you can do from the keyboard that you may not know about. How many of you are just keyboard junkies? Like, you could work all day with no mouse. And then every once in a while, you're like, oh, I got to use my mouse. Like, I will turn my trackpad off and then just not have a mouse. Because you could do, I think, 99% of the stuff in Studio with the keyboard, even some relatively obscure things. So let's talk about some of those to help you better navigate your code. So first thing I guess we should ask, is there anyone who's not using 2013? Okay, yeah. So the only reason I bring that out is because there's a preview window over here that is something that is set up to only work with 2013, and then everything after that is available to everyone. So as I'm navigating this code down my Solution Explorer on the left, you'll notice that there is a tab that's hiding over here on the right, and I'll just do a Windows zoom to zoom into that. This preview tab, this preview tab will open the file, and of course it's configurable. You can actually turn that off inside of your options. But now as you're navigating your file system, that file will just automatically open for you, assuming it's a code file.
And there's certain things it might not open, like you might not want the entire XAML designer to pop up.
And your project file and stuff like that doesn't have a previewer. And then, of course, if you like that file, you can simply pin it, and then it'll jump back over to your left side. So that's preview. If you don't want it, you can come up to Quick Launch, simply type in preview, which is actually a tip in itself. Control K. Not sure if you guys have noticed this, but you should never have to go to, Control Q. Thank you. You should never have to go to Tools Options and Hunt. Because now, whatever you're thinking about, the feature that you need, you can simply do Control Q, which is a quick search, and then type what you're looking for, and then it will launch Tools Options for you directly to that feature. So in this case, if we want to turn preview off, we can allow new files to be previewed I can simply uncheck that, and or even with specific setup options, and then your preview will go away. So let's talk about pinned documents. If you have a large number of files open, and I'll simply try to open three or four of them here, as you navigate through the files, they're going to head off the right-hand side of the screen. Because if you're using Visual Studio throughout the day, you're going to have 20, 30, 40 files open. And this most recently used list is what you're going to see. But if you have something like a web config or an app config that you want to stay, you can simply pin it, and then that will show up in its own well, which means it's going to stay there for the rest of your session. You can pin multiple documents, and then as you cycle through and navigate to code, those will show up on the right-hand side. Most of you have a much bigger resolution than the monitor we're looking at as well, so you'll be able to see more of those tabs. You can also, of course, tear tabs off. This is great support for multiple monitors. You can actually set up two instances of the same Visual Studio. And I say that, it sounds kind of confusing, because you don't actually run two executable studios. But I'll show you in a minute, you can set up a second Solution Explorer in your second monitor that's actually scoped to what you're talking about. So now that I have this as a floating document window, one thing that's new in Visual Studio is this is now a proper first-class window, which means Windows left, Windows right will work, Windows up will maximize, and Windows down will restore it. If you want to get it back into the well, you can, of course, drag and drop it with your mouse, or you can control, double-click the title bar, and it will restore its original position. Now, that's very useful when you're working with a tool window. For example, if I want to maximize my output, I can drag that here. Now my output is full screen, or full window. If I control double click, it'll pop out, control double click again, and it'll head right back to where it's supposed to live. This is an appropriate time to talk about hiding the tabs. So if you're dragging something around, how often is it that you actually want something to land right where these anchors are? If you hold...
You actually want it right there underneath that thing,
yeah,
right?
That's right. You want it right there, but you don't want it in that anchor point. So if you hold the control key down while you're dragging, those anchor points disappear. Do you guys know that? Give me an ooh, an ah, something. You guys are alive? All right. So let's drag this back in, and we'll get an anchor point. So if you hold the control key down while you're dragging around, you'll be able to hide those.
Yeah. Now, that's also a common metaphor in the IDE, right? So that happens with various other things in the IDE that kind of appear above. It can make IntelliSense go away. It can make all sorts of things go away if you just hold that control key.
Right. So. It's control equals hide in a lot of cases. So the other thing that I wanted to show here is split window. If you have a larger file that you're working with, oftentimes it's best to not have to scroll down here, then scroll back up. But just like your Word editor, you can split that file now. And I'm surprised at how many of you do not do that on a regular basis. In fact, you can also use the window menu. And the very first option is New Window. It will give you an instance of that same file in yet a third window. So you'll notice here that I have ETW Tracing Interceptor version 1 and version 2. I can actually tear this off to a second or third monitor, and now what I'm typing works in all those places. This is really beneficial when you're debugging and you have one file with two or three breakpoints in it. And instead of jumping from here and back up here and back down here, just open two windows, put them side by side, and then your breakpoints are live and hot, and you can actually see both of them, including your mouse overs, all your data tips, and everything will be right on that one screen. So I like to split and use the multiple instances of the same file. And you can actually get nuts with that. You can get six or seven versions of the same file. I know not all of us write amazing code that's only 10 lines long. Some of you inherit codes that's thousands of lines long. But there's a couple of tips there around around the windows. The last thing that I wanted to show you, and this is actually something that embarrassingly I just learned, and I've been doing this talk for like the last 6 years. I've just learned this in Visual Studio, and it is the ability from the keyboard to close a tool window. So I'm on the keyboard, I'm not using a mouse. My focus is here inside this new Solution Explorer window. And there's a little X up there that you could close it with the mouse. How many of you know how to do it from the keyboard? Control, escape.
Nope. Whoop.
I'm sorry, shift escape. Is that right? Yeah, shift escape will close the active tool window that you're on. Well, how was that for
that was awesome. That wasn't me.
Crash and burn.
Yeah, really. I mean,
shift escape. It's correct on the in the PowerPoint to close a tool window. The last thing I'll throw or show you before I throw it over to Dustin is Alt F6 will toggle through all of the tool windows that you have open, and then of course Shift goes backwards. So Alt Shift F6 will toggle back between all of those windows, and then Control Escape will close that. Did you know that?
I knew that because you showed that before.
Oh.
And I remembered it.
Earlier today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great.
Actually, the amusing thing about the Shift Escape, Control Escape thing is that I just opened a solution and had some files open. I was like, oh, yeah, Scott told me about this Control Escape this morning. I thought that's what it was. And I sat here and was like, no, that's like pressing the Windows key that brought the start screen. And then
so
I just totally screwed it up on my machine, too.
We tested, and that also works with document windows. So I'm in the habit of Control F4, which will close my document, but Shift Escape will also close your active document tab.
All right, so let's talk about search a little bit. Let's switch over and talk about some of the search facilities in Visual Studio. We've been kind of touching on some of these, and that's going to be the way it is, right? To really use Visual Studio, you're going to be using all the features all the time. It's really kind of hard to say, well, you know, we're going to, you know, just right now we're going to just talk about this one thing. But really, you know, and because Scott's been showing things and I've been showing things that we're both going to be using throughout, even though we haven't talked about them officially yet. This one is Quick Launch. He mentioned it earlier, Control Q. And there are some subtleties about this. It's a really cool feature that was introduced in the Pro Power Tools, actually in Visual Studio 2010, if you're still on 2010 and you have the Productivity Power Tools. I think it was like Control 3 brings it up. But Control Q is makes much more sense for something called Quick Launch. And I can type in here to show something like to show menus, to show menu items, to show toolbox options, those sorts of things. So I'm going to press Control Q, and one of the things I'm always looking for when I start a new instance of Visual Studio, especially in the older versions before I had roaming settings when I logged into Visual Studio and I had a connected IDE, was I was always starting a new instance of Visual Studio, I needed to turn on the line numbers. Right, and I could never remember where that was at. So now with Quick Launch, I can just find that. I can just say, go find line numbers, and it's right there. Now, right now I'm looking at the, I had to type the whole thing out, and it shows up in my most recently used, but if it wasn't in there, it would have actually taken me to this menu item down here, and that's not what I want. I actually wanted the option page. Well, you can get there a little bit quicker by typing some shortcuts first. You can type shortcuts that start with an at symbol, and it will allow you to narrow your scope. Okay, so you can see right there it says at opt for options. You can also find your open documents. You can search NuGet packages, the menu, all sorts of things. This is also an extensibility point for Visual Studio. So, for example, in the Productivity Power Tools for Visual Studio 2013, there are additional things you can search here. But I could type, at opt line, and I'll just get the options pages. Okay, and so if I continue on, type that, I'm there. And one of the things that's also cool about this is even if it hasn't shown up yet, I'm still typing, I press enter, it'll still get there. Okay, it's still computing that in the background, and as soon as I hit enter, you don't have to wait for the UI to show up. It will just go when it's ready. Now, as far as search, so that's kind of search across Visual Studio and across these things that have generally been sort of kind of hunt and peck, try and find throughout some very deep dialogue like the tools options dialogue. There are several other places where we've invested in search. This was a big step in Visual Studio 2012 to add search to various windows that were painful before.
Painfully slow.
Painfully slow to search and navigate. A good example is a Solution Explorer. right? The keyboard shortcut to get there, it's actually written right there on the screen in the very top right, is control semicolon. So I can press control semicolon, I'm up here, I'm ready to search. I can search, and it actually filters down. And then as Scott showed with the preview, if you have the preview tab up, this will search down inside. And it also searches down inside members and types inside the files, right? So I'm not just searching through file names, but I'm actually searching down into the files and looking at the members and declarations. Another shortcut, though, that's really awesome for getting to search. Now, it only happens if the Team Explorer has a search box at the top of it, like if you're connected to TFS and you have work items up or the work items page. Right now, I'm connected through Git and there isn't search, but if I were, control apostrophe, which is right next to the semicolon on the US English keyboard, control apostrophe gets me to the Team Explorer. It'll still take me there even if it's not searching, right? So I can actually use control apostrophe and control semicolon, just kind of flip back and forth if I want to. It's a very fast way to get there, and it's also great for search, especially when you've got a TFS backing your project. There's other windows we added search to. Some of those windows do not actually have a keyboard shortcut associated with them. You know, most of the time, mostly because you're not often going there. But for example, we added search to and filtering to the error list window, so I could search for various things, filter down the list. The one that was most painful for me for all those years, the toolbox. And so the toolbox is searchable now as well. There's a search right here. The add reference dialog, which if you have a Visual Studio 2010 and you don't have the productivity power tools, you are hurting yourself. This is where there's a new add reference dialog that we added back in 2012. This is awesome for searching through my solution. This is an important gesture in Visual Studio, though, is that whenever you have a modal dialog and there's a search at the top right-hand corner, it's Control-E to get there. It's actually the same thing in Windows Explorer. If you're in the Windows Explorer and you want to get to that search, it's Control-E. It's the same thing whenever there's a modal dialog. So that works in the Add Reference dialog, the Reference Manager. It also works in the new project dialog. So Control-Shift-N to bring up the new project dialog. I can search installed templates. Suppose I want to see like MVC or something like that. I can search that very, very quickly in the new project dialog. Control-E gets me there. All right, that's a bit of search.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That 2010 add references dialog used to be the go to lunch dialog.
Right.
Do you remember? I mean, it was, depending on what you had installed on your machine, the more you had installed, the longer.
And it wasn't like go get fast food from lunch either.
We're going to Oregano's.
Yes.
That's funny. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about search. Let's move on to Solution Explorer. Some of this we've already talked about in previous moments, but I'll just kind of glance over the things that we have already addressed. So Solution Explorer is pretty big. Some of you are commonly working with large solutions, 20, 30, 40, 100 projects in your solution. I typically have a dozen or so. And if I'm working on something, JavaScript, for example, I may only want to see the scripts folder. So if you right-click anywhere on any product, any folder inside Solution Explorer, you have scope to this, which basically says Solution Explorer becomes the root of that one item. And now it's much easier because your search is automatically filtered just in scripts. Because remember, the search is not only searching file names, it's also searching all of your members. So if you're working in something specific, you can scope to this, and then the home key, this little home icon in the top left, will undo that. So I'm going to right-click and scope again. And again, for my keyboard power users, this is something that I will bet that maybe one other person in the room knows. There is a toolbar at the top of your Solution Explorer. It's not the main toolbar, like under Alt-F for File menu, but there's, for example, a home icon. Does anybody know with your keyboard how to get and focus on that toolbar? There's no keyboard shortcuts for home or forward or back, so it is, and I'll tell you this in a little bit longer way to help you easily remember it. When you do Alt, it's intuitive that you're going to a file menu, right? You have the Alt-F for file. So Shift-Alt is the keyboard shortcut, which then just focused that toolbar. I'm not sure if you noticed that, but now my back button is highlighted and my tab key will now cycle through. Also, my left and right arrow keys will cycle through that item and then, of course, enter to execute. So if you're in a tool window and you want to get to the toolbar of that tool window, Shift-Alt will focus on that tool window, and then you can easily execute that. Again, from the keyboard, you don't have to run to your mouse to pick something up. So another thing that I use that for is this guy right here is called Collapse All. And when I do that, it simply takes all the projects and all the files that I have open and collapses them, which more easily helps me navigate if I'm trying to use my cursor to find something. Now, in relation to finding where you are, there is a feature of Studio that is off by default. So the majority of you on your machine will not have this. When you click a file, you can track that file in Solution Explorer. So again, if I use this quick watch up at the top and just type in the word track, you can see that under Projects and Solutions, there is an option here to track the active item in Solution Explorer. Some of you love this, some of you hate it. What it means is every time you move to a new file, it will show you that file in its home in Solution Explorer. It might drive you nuts when you do go to definition, because you go to definition, your Solution Explorer is constantly moving around. And what happens is as a file is opened, Solution Explorer leaves that tree node open after you close it behind. So that's why I'm constantly, I actually turn this on. So on my machine, I have track active items on. And now as I click a file, you'll see that it highlights that item in Solution Explorer. But then Control-Alt-L will focus in Solution Explorer, Shift-Alt to the toolbar, in which case I can go back to collapse all files. So again, for my keyboard shortcut enthusiast, track files as well as Shift-Alt to get up to the toolbar. Now, there's one more thing I want to show you inside Solution Explorer that has, as of yesterday, in the productivity power tools, matured. And it is a second form of filter. So what Dustin showed you first is search filter. You type in the word text and it only shows you files and filter and members with the word text in there. But you also have this little guy, which will allow you to further filter your file types based on pending changes. So this will say, show me only things that I've changed in my solution since the last time I've checked in. Only the files that are open. This is kind of cool, particularly if you're at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, you've been working for a couple hours, you've got 50 things open, and then instead of Alt-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab-Tab to try to get somewhere, just turn this filter on, and now your Solution Explorer, in fact, let me do that. Now my Solution Explorer only shows me that the active files that are open. And you know, there's 20 of them there, but in a nice tree view in my Solution Explorer makes it very nice and easy to navigate. Now, as of yesterday with Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, there's a new item in here that's added if you have the Productivity Power Tools installed called an Errors Filter. And the Errors Filter will only show you files in your solution that have errors, which is great while you're refactoring. So if you're refactoring something out and then you break 10 other things, like if you change an interface, for example, or add something to an interface and now you have to go implement it, you can turn errors on and only those 10 files, including with squigglies, will show up. So let me turn that on. None of my files have errors. If we just do something here so that the compiler starts crying, which is him.
Boo-hoo.
Then I get a warning that says, hey, this isn't right. Is it going to affect your project? And then because my filter is on, it's only showing me files that have errors. Okay, whoops.
Well, the cool things about that is when you don't have the filter on, it still shows you the errors, right? It still has squiggles in the Solution Explorer to show you the errors.
Yeah, in fact, if I turn this filter off, then yeah. You can see that with the new in Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, you have the option to underline all files. So this is kind of IntelliSense yeah. on steroids that helps you further and easier navigate to files with errors. Yeah,
specifically, it's in the 2013 Productivity Power Tools, so we don't
That's right.
If you don't have the productivity power tools, you still have this filter, which also has keyboard shortcuts bound to it. And those are basically control left square bracket. Something's wonky with my mouse. But left square bracket and then P for pending, O for open, and E for E for errors.
There's one other of those left bracket commands too. It's that track active item in Solution Explorer. If you don't like that happening all the time, there's a command that lets you do it on demand, right? So if you're just if you have that option off, but you still want to sync your open file and get the find it in the Solution Explorer, you can press Control left bracket S, right?
Yeah. S for sync.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so naturally, these kind of talks are nice because, I mean, there's 1,000 little tips and tricks in the IDE that we banter through and decide what to try to put in. But naturally, we can only put so much on the slide. So, yeah, control bracket S to sync. So with that, let's jump back to your next slide, navigation.
All right. We're going to talk about navigation. We talk about search throughout Visual Studio. I want to talk about navigation within code, okay? So let's flip over. I've got a solution here. It's got 3 projects, and it's got a reasonable amount of C# code in here. And the first thing I want to mention, I mentioned earlier that we've simplified kind of the toolbar space up here. I've still got my hide main menu on, so you're not, the all caps menus aren't hurting you. But one of the things we made in Visual Studio 2012 much more prominent that wasn't in the past were these guys up here, these navigational buttons at the very top left corner, the kinds of things you would see on your internet browser. Now these are designed to, as I move through code and I move through files, every 10 lines or something like that, I think that's the threshold I need to move, we'll drop what we call a go back marker. And that will show up in this list, okay, and we can see where I've been and what the line of code is where I was at, right, so I can go back. Now if I want to cycle through that or use the keyboard to get through it, it's control minus, right, can take me back to where I was, and control shift minus takes me the other direction through the stack. Okay, so there's a navigational stack. So if I decide, I want to go to definition right here, I can come back very quickly with a control minus. Okay, that brings me, of course, to go to definition. Everybody knows go to definition, right? It's F12. That's a core shortcut. You should know it. There's another shortcut we added in Visual Studio 2013, and that is Alt F12, right? And Alt F12. Performs an inline peek. So if I don't want to go off to a new file, I don't want to have the cost of a new file, I just want to take a look and see something very quickly, it will open an inline view into that file in the editor. In this case, it's actually a file that doesn't actually exist in real life. It's a metadata source file. This is something that's in C# where if you go to definition on something that comes from a reference assembly where we don't actually have source code for it, in this case, this is from system.io, it will take you to a sort of a C#-like view of that file, which we call metadata source. And you can use inline peek to go in and out of that. In a similar experience like we saw with the preview window, you can promote that right here by pressing this button, and that will take it and move it into a full document window if that's what you're looking for. Now, the metadata source is also interesting in the sense that if you find that you're always doing that, you're always peeking into something or you're always going somewhere, you can use a window that was added in Visual Studio 2005 called the code definition window. And this is kind of like go to definition just kind of automatically. Sometimes I'll put this on another monitor, but you can just kind of walk around, and as you move around through source code, it will simply update and show you the definition of something. Well, I just went to the same place, so let's go to this one. And it will show you that definition, including things that are in metadata. Right? So that's a useful window if you find yourself just kind of constantly checking in to see where you want to go. Now, the opposite of F12 is Shift F12. Often you'll find that the opposite of a keyboard shortcut is adding Shift to that. Like you said, what's the keyboard shortcut? Alt F6 to move around through tool windows, and then Shift Alt F6 to kind of go backwards. You find that coupling Shift will often do the opposite thing. And the opposite of go to definition is find all references. Right? So if I want to find all references to something, I press Shift F12, and I find that in my project. Now, here's a shortcut. This may be the least discoverable shortcut in the product. And that's whenever you have a list window open. This could be the error list. It could be the find symbol results window here. It could be the output window. If I press F8, that will cycle through that window for me. Okay, so let me pin that and show you that again. So pressing F8 will cycle through the items in this window and move the editor to that position, and Shift F8 will go backwards. So it's iterating a list window with F8 and Shift F8. Totally undiscoverable, but completely useful. I use it a lot with the error list window, and I just want to bounce around through errors. Now, we've looked at a bunch of search capabilities and that sort of thing, but if I want to just find some type, some symbol in my project, I've got a couple of ways to do that. I can go to Solution Explorer, but I could also press a keyboard shortcut that everybody should know, which is Control Comma, and that brings up Navigate to. Right? So if I just want to find, say, all the view models in my project, I can do so right here. And in Visual Studio 2013, we have updated this quite a bit so that it's got a much more fluid interface. Before, in previous versions of the product, it was like a modal dialogue that came up, and you didn't really interact with it. It didn't feel very fluid. Now it's just kind of this guy right up there in the very top right corner. And as you move through it, you'll see that you get preview windows as well, just like with the Solution Explorer. That's Control Comma. But once I've got a bunch of files open, I know I've got them open, I could navigate between them by using Control Tab, okay? And that brings that up here. Now, the thing I dislike about this, though, is that, first of all, it doesn't give me a preview experience. I don't like that very well. But it's also in a very weird order. It's in the most recently used, okay, which works great if I'm just going back and forth between the same file, because I don't know about you guys, but my memory's terrible, right? And so I can only remember like the last couple of files I've been moving between. So I'll often use Control Tab and Control Shift Tab, again with that tab, that shift being the opposite to go backwards, just to move back and forth between the last two files. But then I can't really make sense of the order, and it's not very quick for me to get there. So instead, if I have these open files, I will use this guy up here in the very top right corner of the document. Well, you see that right there that I've got highlighted? That drops this down, right, and shows me all my open files. Who knows the keyboard shortcut to get there? Anyone?
Anyone?
No, man, this is painful.
We should start giving out money. Maybe we'll get answers. Yeah. Does anybody know that?
It's Control Alt down, brings it up, and then I can type the first character of the file I want to go to and just go there. Right? That's an awesome one for just navigating open documents, especially when I want to navigate them and I don't want to see a list. I know what I want to get to, and I just want to go there. The last thing I want to talk about in navigation is something that Scott's had open the entire time, but I want to show you how to get there. That's the enhanced scroll bar. This is something we introduced in the productivity power tools, and that's kind of a really great product for us because it's something that we can use to kind of test the waters with features and, you know, to see what really sticks, what people like, and eventually pull them in the product. And this is one that's been pulled into the product. The enhanced scroll bar shows me right here. It shows me certain things like my caret position. There's a line there. It'll also show me squiggles and warnings and various other artifacts that are on my source code. But what most people seem to miss is that there's a whole bunch of really rich options here to explore. And my favorite is this map mode, right? And so I can expand this and actually see a map of my source code and see what it looks like. And then that also opens up this preview. So when I hover over, I can see the code underneath. Yeah, I see some big eyes. This is an awesome feature. We actually had this in, yeah, go ahead. This is something that we actually had internally for years called Rock Scroll, and then we got it out publicly, and then we went ahead and productized it and pushed it into the box. But this idea of this map mode that we used, every dev had on their machine at Microsoft, but we never gave it to you guys. We're sorry about that. Here you go.
But we have it now.
We have it now. Speaking of which, I want to actually go and I don't have the Productivity Power Tools installed right now. I'm just using plain vanilla Visual Studio 2013 with those couple of extensions you've seen me install. I'm going to go grab a... I'm going to go actually turn it on. So, extensions. And I have the productivity power tools right here. It's disabled. We'll go ahead and enable it and restart. Because some of the features that exist today in Visual Studio 2013 start lighting up with more functionality, which I think is pretty cool. One of the things I think is really great about the enhanced scroll bar also is if I want to make this bigger, I can start getting some other things. And I can turn on features like... I have this one off right now. But there are structural highlighting. There's a feature that will kind of draw lines between your, this is going to make me restart again, but between your the braces
We call it the structural visualizer. But what this also does is it adds, I'm going to restart to enable that. And I'll go ahead and use the jump list to do so. But it adds lines between my braces to show me the structure of my code. But it also, if you take a look at the map here, it starts showing me the shape of my code a little bit differently in the map margin as well. Right? So some of the features really start to come alive once you have the productivity power tools installed.
Those are your big if statements?
Yeah. My big if statements. So, cool.
Show me your big ifs.
What?
So I wanted to talk about one thing that I saw while Dustin was working. Did you see him pin this and unpin the floating window? If your cursor has focus in a tool window, you can do Alt-W, and then you have float, dock as tabbed, and auto-hide. So you can do that from the keyboard.
Are you schooling me
as
right
well?
Now? Is that what you're doing?
Did you know that was in there?
No, I didn't. I totally forget about it.
So you have that, and then... my next slide is about code editor tricks. And the first one that I start off with is from the keyboard, watch my screen. Built into Studio since 2012 is the ability to change your font size from the keyboard. This is great if you're presenting or if you're on a screen sharing or partner or pairing program. The way that I mentalize this is the greater than and less than keys are also the comma and the period. If you do control shift smaller or less than, the font size goes down, and control shift greater than or period, the font size goes up. So control shift down and up. You can also control wheel zoom in and out with your mouse. That's pretty nice. One thing you'll find with this if you use it a lot is that it's bound to your current document. Which is kind of lame because now if I'm presenting, I want Visual Studio font to get bigger. There's an extension called Same Size or Zoom Size that will do exactly what you want it to. As you zoom in one window, it will change all of your windows. How many of you have your Visual Studio on a projector more than once a week? You're showing code demos, you're doing something online. Okay, good. So you'll love this. With the productivity power tools, under quick search, watch what happens when I type the word present. I have present on, off, and edit. This is purely awesome. So these are, woohoo! These are quick settings which change your whole environment for presenting. So if I say present off, then my shortcut goes off. Oh, I'm in presenter mode. If I say present on or present
or present on
then all of my fonts just shifted to what I want for my presentation. Now you may have also seen present edit, and that lets me edit this little XML file that lets me choose the font that I want to use as well as the size when I'm in presentation mode. So if we change that to 16 and 14, which will be huge, but it's fine, we can then switch back between present off and then control Q, present on, and then you can see my font sizes change really quick. I'm not sure if this is extendable. I actually just found out about this a little while ago. I'm not sure who wrote it or where, but my goal is to find that person then and ask if there's more stuff we can put in here. So yeah. One of the things that Dustin wanted was, let's turn line numbers on only when we're presenting. Because I'm me. I don't need to know the line number. I can see it, right? But if you're working with somebody else, then line numbers are invaluable. And I don't know if that's something that can be extended into this or not. So we have quick zoom. The other thing that I want to show here is multi-line editing. This is something that's been around since Visual Studio was invented. Every version has had it, and it lets you do something like edit multiple lines at once. So I can highlight, I can type, I can backspace, I can highlight, I can cut, I can paste, and it does what we exactly what we want it to. So the way that you insert multi-line mode is by holding down the Alt key. So if I were to highlight the word font here, for example, I would just hold down the shift key and then press the right arrow 4 times. But if I hold down the alt key, I can now go up and down and I have box select. And I can type and then I'm in box select mode. You can also hold down the alt key with your mouse, drag and drop. So I do an alt, drag and drop, I can make that change.
Right. So the box selection has been in Visual Studio forever. In 2010, we refined it. We added so it would edit on every single line, which was extremely useful.
That was multi-line insertion point. Yeah, so you used to be able to, for those of you that have 2010, everyone can do this, and then everyone can delete. But in 2010 and forward, you can see my insertion point is there with that light sky blue line that lets me edit. It's great for XML or even JSON files. If I'm editing something, I can do a big block select, and then I just press delete. Instead of trying to double click, select, delete on 4 lines individually, it lets me multi-line select. So here's another thing. I'm just gonna Control Z back to this. And everyone knows copy paste. That's probably the first thing you learn as a programmer when you're borrowing somebody else's code that you learned from, right? Select, highlight, copy, go somewhere else, paste, paste, paste. Very simple. But in a lot of cases, we need to paste more than one thing. So watch what I'm going to do here. I'm going to take this using system. I'm going to press Control C to copy. And then in that other file that I need to go to, I also want to copy this 3 lines. So I'm going to do Control C to paste. But what did I just do to the last thing that was there? It just popped off the stack, right? But I'm going to show you a little trick. Let's actually go to a new file, create some white space here, and now if I Control V to paste, I just press Control C. Right? This is a real scenario. You've done that. You've copied something, you come over here and you just copied a blank line. And now when you paste, you're going to get that fancy blank line.
Very fancy.
So Control C, cut, Control X, and Control V, we all know those are rudimentary. In Visual Studio, since 2005, Control-Shift-V will not only paste that blank line. Let me just go back and get something on my clipboard. Control-Shift-V will paste, but it will continue to leave that selected. So if I press the letter V a second time, it will cycle through what we call a clipboard ring, which is built into Studio, and will remember the last 20 items on your clipboard if they were initiated in Studio. If you copy from Notepad, you have to get it into the clipboard ring by pasting it once. So now I can Control-Shift-V and cycle through all the things that have been on my Visual Studio clipboard for the morning, and then that goes to the top of the stack. So if I needed that, now I can come back and Control-Shift-V again and get that second thing that was in my clipboard. Now, for those two people that still had to use 2005, you have something that none of the rest of us have. Because as of after 2005, the clipboard visualizer was taken out of Studio. I have no idea how, when, or why. But in Visual Studio 2005 only, under your edit menu, you can view a clipboard ring, and then you'll get a toolbox of all the things that you have copied and pasted. So go Visual Studio 2005. For the rest of you, Control-Shift-V for Visualizer. The last thing I want to show on this, if that copy of a blank line is annoying to you, under Tools Options, if I search for blank, there's actually an option here that you can disable that. Apply cut and copy commands to blank lines. I turn that off, because then if I accidentally do the copy on a blank line, it didn't affect anything, and then Control-V is still pasting from the top of my clipboard ring. So there's a few other keyboard shortcuts that that I like to work on, and I'm going to show you those here as well. So most of you know that under Tools Options, you have this idea of custom keyboard bindings. And the pros and cons to this is if you customize the keyboard bindings, they're only going to work in your environment. So if you're pair programming with somebody, unless you can convince them to do the same bindings or even export your settings to a network share and then have your whole team kind of share the same settings, the custom bindings are only going to work on your machine. But I find myself often needing to get to the file system. And over here inside Solution Explorer, we have this fancy item called Open in Containing Folder, right? I think the majority of you know or have seen that on the menu. And the problem is it's a mouse click, right? And you can also, by the way, do that up here in the tab. You can right-click on the tab, and you can say Open Containing Folder or Copy Full Path. Sometimes that's nice if it's an XML file. You need to use that path in your code. You can just copy the path and then paste it somewhere else. Or if you're going to another program file, Open Paste will have that fully qualified path. So I do this under Open Containing Folder. I'm going to do a keyboard and go to my keyboard bindings, and then I'm going to type Open Containing. There it is. And I bind that to Control-Alt-Shift-O. I use Control-Alt-Shift because it's the bottom left of my keyboard. It's all three of the accessory keys. I can do it with one hand, and then my other hand is free to do O for Open Container.
I call it the claw.
The claw.
Yeah.
There you go. I like that. The claw. Isn't that, that's a movie, I think.
I see, yeah.
So with the claw and O, it's also not used by any of the other bindings. Like Alt-O for sure is used by something somewhere. Control-Shift-O is used. But if I do all three of them, then they're it's almost always available to me. So I can assign that. And then when I click OK, now anytime I need to open a file on the file system, I just Control-Alt-Shift-O, and then it just opens that file in Explorer to me, which... I mean, I find myself using that dozens and dozens of times a day. You know, if you have to get your web config, or if you're looking at a data file that was written from a console output, or whatever you're working on, the fact is, as developers, we are interacting with the file system regularly. And so that's a trick to change your custom keyboard bindings. And that one in particular I like of Control-Alt-O. So with that, let's jump back to the slide deck for writing code. You want to do slide or just write code?
Let's write code. I'm going to do it very fast. Because hopefully this is bread and butter for a lot of you guys that we're talking about writing code. So first we want to look at IntelliSense. We added filtering to IntelliSense finally in 2010. It's been a number of years now, but the idea that as I type, it filters down. There's a trick to this, however. If you type all capital letters and you type the first letter of, say, the kind of the words that split up, you can get it to filter on those words, right? So if I type WL, I'll get window left and window right line. And then similarly, if I typed, say, if I just wanted to read lines, I could just find it very quickly. Press tab, and there I go. Now, in Visual Studio 2010, at that time, we were really also concerned with this style of development I call consume-first development. Usually, when I'm writing code, I'm using a kind of a declare-first way, where I've got types and classes and APIs that I'm using, and so they're already declared out there, and IntelliSense works really well in that mode. But if I'm trying a style of development, maybe I'm doing test-driven development, behavior-driven development, I will find myself instead writing code that uses types and members before I've actually declared them, right? And that gets in my way in a very, very bad way because of this declare first sort of way that IntelliSense is really streamlined and optimized for. The canonical example is here I am. I'm in a class called Customer Tests. I've got a test. I want to just create a customer, but I'm going to use a test-driven development kind of style where I'm just going to type my code before I've actually declared it. And I type customer, and then I press space, and of course IntelliSense stomps all over me because I'm in a class called Customer Tests. Now, if I undo that, IntelliSense is optimized so that it will give me the code I would have typed, right? So it gives me customer plus the space that committed IntelliSense. That's a behavior that is extremely helpful. But if I find myself in this mode all the time, there's a keyboard shortcut that can kind of fix IntelliSense for me, and that's Control-Alt-Space. And when I press Control-Alt-Space, now there's a little bar, a box at the very top of IntelliSense, which we call the IntelliSense Builder, if you're interested.
IntelliSense what?
The IntelliSense Builder, if you're interested. Now, IntelliSense still filters, and I can still commit IntelliSense. It'll continue to select items down at the very bottom, but you notice that it's a boxed outline on the selection, not a solid selection. And what that means is that IntelliSense isn't going to insert that item if I press one of the typical commit keys. It will only insert if I press space. So I can, or sorry, if I, oh, that would break the entire feature. If I press tab, right? It shows me what it would insert at the very, very top. So if I type customer, press space, it no longer commits, okay? If I type customer and I press tab, yeah, sure, it commits. Okay, and so that is consume first mode, or what we call suggestion mode for IntelliSense. We decide that the typical IntelliSense kind of mode of operation is called completion mode, where it's actively completing items that are already declared, and then suggestion mode is where it continues to suggest things for you, and you can accept them on tab, but it won't cost you if you type other characters like parenthesis. Likewise. We added some features to help consume first development where I haven't declared customer, but it appears in the list here, right? And so there are some features within C# and Visual Basic to help with that. I should mention that a lot of the keyboard shortcuts and things that we're showing here do translate cross-language. We're typically sticking with C# just for simplicity right now, but a lot of these go to VB, a lot of these go to C++, and F# as well, and other languages, JavaScript. So, now I'm going to show you the keyboard shortcut that, if you don't know it, it saves your life. This is the one that adds minutes back to your day. What's that?
Patent.
I don't have a patent on this one. But it's control dot. Now, this is kind of a sad thing, because when we introduced smart tags in the IDE back in Visual Studio 2005, it shows a shortcut, actually, for it. But it's like Shift-Alt-F10. It's the worst, right? It's the claw, almost, right? It's very difficult to remember. It's very difficult to type, especially when you're trying to write code quickly. There is a much better shortcut to bring up the smart tag, and that is control dot. Okay, control dot brings up your smart tag. We introduced a new feature in Visual Studio 2010, back in 2010, to generate new classes and members. And control dot works brilliantly with that. So if I wanted to, say, define a name here, and I'm still in consume first mode, Scott codes well, we'll say. What's that? Yeah. And we can generate a property stub. One other feature that just happened right there, this is in the productivity power tools, and I didn't mention it yet, but it's automatic brace completion. It's new in Visual Studio 2013 across languages, and it's that if I type if I'm at the end of a line and I type, say, a quote or a parenthesis or a closing brace, it automatically completes that for me. Now, if I want to move past that, I can just type the character again, or I can press tab to get outside of it. So if I'm nested deeply inside of something, I can press tab to get outside of that. In the productivity power tools, there's also a special keyboard shortcut that will get you outside of it to the next line and drop a semicolon for you, and that's a Shift-Enter. We totally didn't implement that in 2013. I'm super depressed about it. So we'll be bringing it into the next release of Visual Studio, which you can experience that if you install the Roslyn, the .NET compiler platform end user preview that's out there. That also has that shortcut. We are getting close on time. Let me do just a couple more things here. I want to show the critical thing for also for control dot is add using. Right, so if I want to use a type that isn't actually included up here yet, let's say we don't have system text, but I know I want to use string builder, right? Control dot is going to bring up the smart tag, allow me to use that right away, and I can press enter, and I've added the using at the very top of the file. Another feature that is extraordinarily useful for getting kind of code spitting out quickly, the one I use all the time is CW, and that's code snippets. Do people here use code snippets in Visual Studio? Okay. And they're great for kind of just getting kind of code spit out. C# has a handful of snippets. This one's really useful because it inserts console.writeline, and frankly, I write a lot of console apps to just kind of test things out all the time. And so I type CW, and then I tab to insert that into the editor, to insert the console.writeline. Visual Basic has a huge suite of these snippets, something on a level of 300 and some snippets. There is a snippet UI that you can use to explore, and that's brought up with Control-KX. And you can actually bring up a kind of a snippet picker that will go through and show you all of the various snippets that are available. And so I can tab through these. There's the C# ones. I can go through and see, like, you know, if I wanted to define a dependency property inside my main method, I could do that. And then the last thing I wanted to show is something that's new with Update 2. Okay, Update 2, Visual Studio 2013 Update 2 adds this whole
notion of a universal app project where I have, you know, an application that also includes both phone and store and a set of code that I can use in a shared fashion across both of those platforms. Now, the way that's done is actually through linking files. How many people you guys link files to other projects? It's kind of cumbersome to do. The IDE doesn't support it very well. And so to make it work better for that scenario, we had to add better support for linking files. So I've got a couple of libraries here. One's called Scott's library. One's called Dustin's library. And we have the same file, actually, this utilities class, and it's linked into my library. So if I bring this up, I can see here that Scott's got a method that says, you know, that I actually disagree with the implementation of this method. And so I would say that's only relevant when Scott is defined, okay? And then if it's Dustin, I want that to be a bit different, right? So I'll go ahead and add this here. I'll declare the method. Now, right now, I'm not getting any IntelliSense. However, up here, I'm going to use the mouse at first, and I'll tell you the keyboard shortcut. There is this new navigation bar column that we used to have two boxes, now it has three, and it shows you the project. If you are in a project, or if you are in a file that is linked into multiple projects, dropping this down will show you the projects it's linked into and let you decide which one you want to see it in the context of. So if I switch it over to Dustin's library, you see that now Scott is disabled because that's the only place that's defined.
Aww.
And yeah, sorry, buddy. And I can type just fine in here, and I can redefine this method appropriately. Right, and so this is the keyboard shortcut to get up there to that project context switcher is Control F2. That's actually the keyboard shortcut just to get up in the that navigation bar altogether, but it's really useful for the project context switching. So I can press Control F2, drop it down, and I can switch between these two contexts.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so really nice. So the next thing we're going to jump right into is debugging. Debugging is what I think makes us all payable. Because anybody can write code, but the ability to debug code is going to really make us better developers. And I do a lot of code reviews with people where I'm looking at other people's code, and I cannot stand somebody who debugs with the mouse. It drives me crazy. So there's icons up in the toolbar that you can click to step over and step into and step next and step previous. And if you are using those, then your goal next week is to learn the keyboard shortcuts F9, F10, and F11. And they do different things in different places. So I'm going to spend just a moment, and there's a couple of them that nobody knows about that I will show you that are amazing time savers that you will save literally minutes every time you use it, which lets you debug better and faster. So while Dustin was talking, I just wrote some throwaway code. There's a little reverse method here, takes a string, returns a string, and then there's an int, which takes an int, returns an int, no big deal. And then I've got a line of code here that runs both of them. So if I wanted to run this and debug line 9, what do you do? There's two keys you press. What are they? F9 and F5, right? You set a breakpoint, and then you run. But there is a way to do that without setting a breakpoint first. One of the gentlemen in the front row said, Control F10 is run to cursor, and it's amazing. So I don't have a breakpoint set here, but by pressing Control F10, I actually executed the program and then hit my first breakpoint or stop point. If you just press F10, it'll execute your program and break on the very first line of executed code. Now, I have two method calls in my parameters, and if I wanted to get into the second method, this is where some of you who are pros will know F11 is step into. But what is F11 going to step into? It's going to step into the reverse method, right? Because it's the first method. Watch this. I'm about to blow your mind. Are you ready? I'm going to press a keyboard shortcut that will give me the option of what I want to step into. That's called step into specific. Now, if you're using link functions or anonymous methods, and inside that you're calling into other parameters or other methods, this may be 3 or 4 deep that lets you specifically step into, in this example, the second parameter, and now I'm F10 walking through that code. So For the newbies and the advanced, let's just go over. F9, set a breakpoint. Shift F9, remove a breakpoint. F10, step, execute the current line of code. F11, step into. And then Shift F11 is step back. So if I do Shift F11 here, it steps back. The one that I am teaching you now is called Step Into Specific, and it is Shift Alt F11. And it will take all of the methods that are on that execution line, and then it will ask you which one you want to go into. So Shift F11, Step Into Specific, you will use that 100 times throughout the day. And then Shift F5 will end your execution. I've just stopped the program, and I'm going to do Control F10 again to get to a midpoint here. And I want to, again, blow your mind. So watch this. I'm on line 11. I want to go down to line 14. And if I press Control F10 again, without setting a breakpoint, I've changed the execution stop. So I said, go run the code until cursor. That's what Control F10 does. It says run to cursor. Watch this. Are you guys ready? I'm going to go back up to line 9 and change my execution point backwards. Oh my gosh! How many of you knew you could do that? So there's a couple of you that know you can take your mouse and you can drag this execution point. Now, when you change your execution point, I want you to very clearly understand that does not mean execute the code that I just passed over. You're literally changing the execution point, but the values of your variables have not changed.
Yeah, it says this may have unintended consequences right
it,
there.
It does have it does have unintended consequences, but during debugging, it's awesome. And you can actually change your execution point. So remember, let me do this again. Control Shift F10 is move insertion point, and it's going up. And then if I come down here, Control F10 is going to be run to cursor. So those two things are a little bit more on the advanced debugging as far as the keyboard shortcut is concerned. There's one more quick thing that I want to show you, and that is the difference between what we call a breakpoint, which everybody knows, and a trace point. Trace point might be new to the majority of you. So I'm going to press F9 here. F5 to continue execution to my first breakpoint, and I here currently has a value of 0 because it's the first time that I'm running through this code. Remember when you first learned a program like in some JavaScript and you use alert? You're like, alert, I am here, 1, alert, I am here, 2, 3, and you're like, man, this loop's 500 lines long. You're like, enter, 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 enter. So if you right click on a breakpoint, you can set what we call a condition. And, so, and this is very basic, right? I can say only break when I is greater than 10. And now if I press F5, you'll notice that I has a value of 11. In some cases, you may not want to break at all, but you can still steal some information by doing what we call a when hit, print a message, I has a value of, and then this little guy here says continue execution. So watch what happens over here. I've got a little circle, which is my breakpoint. When I click OK, that changes to a diamond. And the visual for a trace point is diamond. And if I open my output window, as I press F5 to complete, you'll notice that my breakpoint wasn't hit because I said continue execution, but I got all the output in the output window. So there's a few cool things around breakpoints and trace points. Shift Alt F11 is the newest one I wanted to teach you guys. Step into specific. And with that, we are done. That's our presentation. So thank you guys for your time at Tech Ed. And we'll be around for questions.
Yeah. Come on up if you guys got anything to talk about that works.